No opinions, no arguing, just the news. Right now. Right now.
Florida State Legislature passing a new congressional map. Cordell Scott's on News Radio 92.3.
Hours after Florida State House voted 83-28 along party lines to approve a new congressional map, the state Senate did the same.
Record the vote.
21 yeas, 17 nays, Mr. President.
So the bill passes.
Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin. Weekdays 4 to 7.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable. Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Good morning. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Joining us now by phone, we have Santa Rosa Sheriff Bob Johnson. Sheriff, welcome back to the show, sir. Good to have you.
Hey, good morning, Andrew.
Good morning. So you've had a notice about a scam. I think actually your chief deputy, Randy Tiff, was the one who was primarily leading this, but or a fraud. I don't know what you want to call it exactly, but a check washing scam in mailboxes.
Yeah, people will put, like they're going to mail off their house payment, and they'll put a check in the mail, and they'll put it in their mailbox, raise the flag, and then somebody drives by and sees the flag up, so they know there's mail in there, and they take the letter and then wash the check. There's a chemical they can use to wash the check, and then they put in their information and an amount of money, or fake information, actually, and a certain amount of money, and go cash a check, and you're, you know, it comes right out of your bank account.
I feel sometimes like, you know, we're 1950s mindset people trying to make a society with other people who are just absolute scoundrels and deadbeats. Yeah. And, you know, it's like the Amazon delivery package, like porch pirates. This is people who go through a neighborhood and will look for the red flag. Oh, look, there must be something in there. And obviously you wouldn't mail something that's not important like that. So it must be a check. And they just grab people's checks.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why, you know, and this actually happened. My wife put a letter in the mail or a check in the mail, and this is back in probably 1998 or 99. And sure enough, it got taken. And ever since then, she's learned her lesson. And we do everything electronically now. We don't mail checks for any reason.
You know, we tend to do a lot of stuff. Well, my wife, she's the one who pays the bills. She does it electronically. Some things, you know, like I think she told me she writes like 3 checks a year or something. But at the very least, your recommendation would be don't put it in the mailbox, but what, take it to the post office?
Yeah, go to the post office, drop it directly in the box, and that way you don't have to worry about it.
Do you think there's sort of this collage or constellation of behaviors that we all are reluctant to change because changing it means admitting we don't live in the kind of place we want to live in. It's the don't lock, you know, locking your doors, locking your car, you know, that kind of stuff. It seems like this is all kind of in that same vicinity of, I just don't want to have to admit that we live in a world where my mailbox isn't safe.
Yeah. And especially in a place like Santa Rosa County, where we have an extremely low crime rate.
Yeah.
And, you know, people have not locked their cars and not locked the doors to their houses for so many years. But, you know, we have such an influx of people coming in here. I mean, we're probably up around 230,000 people now, whereas, you know, 10 years ago, we were probably at 180. So it's insane the amount of people that are moving into our county, and all of them are not nice people. Most of them are, but all of them are not nice people. And then you just have more crime that comes with that.
You know, it's funny, too, how when you have a place that's a slow immigration zone, you kind of acculturate people, you know, more. When you have a quick influx, you know, the infrastructure to teach people what it means to be a Santa Rosan just doesn't operate the same way on all of those people, unfortunately. So, I can see that as well. You guys had a memorial. What, on Friday was your memorial service?
We did. Unfortunately, we had to add another name to our wall, Sergeant Dale Berry, and passed last year. It's you know, it's a somber event, but it's something that needs to be done. We have to remember the people that gave the ultimate sacrifice.
Yeah, and you had, I think, Senator Doug Broxson was there because, of course, his dad was killed in the line of duty, the sheriff, back in the day, right?
Christmas Eve 1959, he was killed by a drunk driver in Holly. So, and you know, Doug Broxson, the Broxson family is very unique in the fact that, you know, his father was sheriff of Santa Rosa County, his mother was sheriff of Santa Rosa County, and his brother was sheriff of Santa Rosa County all at one point. So their roots run deep in Santa Rosa, and we love them for it.
Most definitely. We're talking to Sheriff Bob Johnson. Sheriff, hang on for just a second. PJ has traffic on the fives.
Still working that vehicle crash, I-110 southbound, the exit ramp to Brent Lane. No roadblock associated with that. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. Sheriff, there were a couple of things in the news that I was going to ask you about. One is that we've been talking quite a bit about this since the Supreme Court case. They heard the geofence warrants case. You know, the bank robbery happens at 1 o'clock and they go and ask Google for all of the phone location data for people between the hours of noon and two, and then whittle that down and eventually try to find a suspect out of that. Chief Winstrom, you know, he had said that he uses those or has used them in the past, and they're an important law enforcement tool for big crimes, with, you know, concerns about applications to your pictures or your emails, your calendar, other things in the future, or, you know, people who are on the wrong political group, kind of that kind of stuff. Does Santa Rosa County, do you ever, have you ever used geofence warrants like that?
Yeah, we do, and it's only in really big cases. I think the majority of the ones we use them for are homicide cases. You know, or abduction cases, things like that, that are pretty exigent that, you know, it's not for stuff. Oh, somebody stole $10,000 worth of stuff from Walmart. I mean, we're not going to use it for that. We're going to use it for something that's pretty much life or death.
But you also, in not at all, this, it's the same name and concept of geofence targeting, but you do use geofence targeted advertising. Is that right?
Oh yeah, definitely. 100%. We have large agencies like NYPD and LAPD. We geofence them to where, you know, you pull up Google and our little logo comes up with a patrol car in front of the beautiful Gulf of America. And it says, come live and work for other people vacation. And we've gotten a lot of good officers from that. So it seems to work pretty well.
So geofenced advertising for LAPD and NYPD has produced some good influx for you. I like that. That's clever.
Yeah.
The last thing I was going to ask you about is interesting story in the PNJ. I haven't had a chance to talk through it too much this morning, but basically the claim was that black drivers get disproportionately pulled over and searched compared to white drivers, and you know that the numbers depend very much on the county, how much out of line it is, but anywhere from like 4 to 8 times as often. It's still a pretty low search rate compared to the overall population of people who are pulled over. This is meant to show that there's racial bias in the policing, particularly among FHP. What do you, every agency, I know you guys do it, Escambia, PPD, everybody does things to make sure that officers are not racially profiling, but talk to me about what you guys do and, you know, maybe without having maybe read the article, but how do you answer that concern for the populace?
Yeah. You know, the majority of our vehicle searches come after dog alerts. So, you know, we'll have like our cat team, they'll be out in a specific area pulling over vehicles and we'll have a dog assigned to them pretty much. And
okay. Hold on. What is a cat team?
Oh, I'm sorry. It's a arrest team. We have two guys that all they do is go around, serve warrants, or go into high crime areas and patrol. That's their one function. They'll usually have a dog assigned to them. They'll pull over cars, and then the dog comes up. And if the dog alerts, and the dog is colorblind, so if he alerts, he alerts, and then they search the vehicle. So that's the majority of our vehicle searches. That's the way that occurs, you know. And even on patrol, you know, we have probably 20-something dogs out there. So they're pretty easy to get to a traffic stop. But, if we find an officer is just pulling over, you know, crazily pulling over just, you know, black people or Hispanic people or whatever, we deal with that. You know, you have to have probable cause to pull a vehicle over.
And so so that's something that you track. I know a lot of other agencies, you track exactly that data to make sure it's not being inappropriately used.
Yeah, well, in a way, but not the way you're thinking. There's no set way to track for us anyways. The way we do it is our sergeants who have each sergeant's assigned probably 5 to 6 deputies. Their task is to keep on track and monitor their deputies. And then, of course, the lieutenant has like six sergeants, and he's supposed to monitor them, and it goes all the way up the chain of command.
Got it.
And if, you know, if you're a sergeant and you have one officer that only pulls over black people, that's an issue, and he's expected to deal with that.
So just back to the CAT team. So is it standard for if I get pulled over for speeding in Santa Rosa County, is it standard for, assuming one is available, to have one come, or is it only if you have a reason to be suspicious about my particular car or my behavior or something like that? What is the practice in Santa Rosa?
Yeah, it's usually something besides just the reason for the stop. So let's say we pull you over because we run your tag and it's expired. And so we get up there, get your driver's license, come back, and we run your driver's license, and we see in our master name index it pops up, oh, habitual drug offender. The dog's coming for that.
Okay.
If you know, you're on probation for narcotics use, the dog's coming. If it just comes back valid license, hey, you've never had a run-in with us, now the dog's probably not coming for that.
Okay, and that's what I was curious about, because I don't think we'd ever exactly talked about this before, and, you know, I could see a world in which, you know, almost every traffic stop has a search, and I can see a world in which it's only, like you said, it's based on, you know, there being some under, because you don't have to have probable cause for a dog sniff. You can just do it because the car is outside the car, right?
100%. So, but yeah, they use the dog, you know, pretty sparingly. If they have some other reason besides the reason that stopped to have the dog there, they'll call. But yeah, you don't want to run a dog around 55, 60 vehicles in one shift. The thing will go home and pass out on the couch. So,
it'd be exhausted. And I only say this for people who might not have been listening to us talk for a long time, like over the course of years, but you and I had a lot of conversations a couple of years ago when the medical marijuana came on the scene, because the rule was that marijuana smell is no longer a probable cause search, because it could be legal, it could be illegal. And so you actually had to retire dogs and train all the new dogs not to alert on marijuana, that marijuana smell, even for an officer, is not a probable cause justification for a search, right?
Correct. So all our dogs that we have currently on the road, all of them, none of them are trained in the marijuana smell, except for two of them. And both of those work in the jail, which obviously you still can't have marijuana in the jail.
Right.
So but all the other dogs, they don't alert on marijuana.
So if you smoke weed and the dog alerts on you, it ain't the weed. They found something else.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. Sometimes, you know, you'll find weed, but then you'll find something else shortly thereafter. So,
Very good. Well, that's why I wanted to bring it up, because I thought it was an interesting story, and I knew it would help us teach some people about some things they might not know about, and that's why I wanted to talk about it. Sheriff Johnson, as always, thank you so much for the time. We'll talk to you again next week.
Yep, take care, Andrew.
822 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you have any kind of a project around the home, or you build things. I mean, there's this whole spectrum, right? There's, you know, people who are like me who just, you know, as a last resort, I have to repair something. For me, it's going to involve a lot of swearing, a lot of delaying and procrastinating. And finally, you know, I have to do it because she said so. And so I do it. Okay, fine. But I'm the kind of person who might need advice. I might not know how to do a thing, and so I can ask at Pensacola Hardware, and they always know. They can always tell me. But if you build things for a living, same thing, okay? They are there to help, you know, put you on a monthly bill. Instead of having to send, you know, Jimmy with the credit card down to buy something, you know, they will have it shipped to your job site. They can help you proactively prepare for problems. If, you know, codes change, they're familiar with that stuff, and they can help you adapt. You've run into a situation you've never run into before. They've been helping people since, 1851. There's nothing they haven't run into before. And so they're there to be a resource. They really are your commercial construction supply business / advisors / assistants. They can order special products for you. If you need, you know, the architect or the engineer comes up with some specified product, they can take care of all of that for you. Pensacola Hardware, right downtown at 20 East Gregory Street, helping people build, rebuild, and remodel Pensacola for 175 years.
Whether you want to start your education or advance your career, Pensacola State College is the place for you. Join the 91% of PSC students who graduate loan-free and select from over 100 programs, ranging from career certificates to baccalaureate degrees. In addition, Pensacola State has over 300 scholarships to choose from, including cybersecurity. Register today for the summer and fall semester. Go to pensacolastate.edu. That's pensacolastate.edu to learn more.
An official message from Medicare.
I turned 65 this year.
I knew it was time to figure out Medicare, and I had questions, like when to enroll and how to enroll. So I went straight to the official source, Medicare.gov, to get the facts about Medicare. I found answers to all my questions, and I'm ready to get started. And so can you. Just go to Medicare.gov to get the real facts about Medicare.
Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
News Radio 92.3 congratulates Andrew McKay on being the only broadcaster to make Florida's 50 over 50 list for 2026. For more than a decade, Andrew has kept Escambia and Santa Rosa counties informed, covering local meetings, interviewing officials, and breaking down big stories that matter. He takes pride in keeping the community informed and making sense of the headlines that shape our daily lives. It's a well-earned honor for a voice our community trusts every morning. Congratulations, Andrew, from News Radio 92.3.
You're not looking for an argument. You just want to know what's going on.
And that's a good thing.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
VGER. Feature.
Good morning, 826 on News Radio 92.3. PJ is sitting in for John Pickens all this week with Traffic on the Fives.
Service brought to you by AutoZone. Get in the zone. Free battery testing, free battery charging, and replacement batteries that fit your needs. Get in the zone. AutoZone. Looking at the big board, still working that vehicle crash. I-110 southbound exit ramp to Brent Lane. No roadblock there. Also still working that vehicle crash Mobile Highway at Yoshida Street in Pensacola. Roadways clear. I'm PJ with your Traffic on the Fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David.
Good morning. President Trump is hosting a maternal health care event today at the White House, a day after his administration launched the website moms.gov. The site provides resources for expectant mothers. And later today, he'll welcome the 2025-26 National Football Champions, the Indiana Hoosiers. Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy providing some more information about the person killed by a plane in Denver. He says that person breached security at the airport. The person was on the runway when he was struck by a Frontier Airlines plane. Duffy said that the person had scaled a perimeter fence and then dashed out onto the runway before he was hit. And two passengers evacuated from the cruise ship hit by the deadly hantavirus outbreak have now tested positive for the virus. One, an American who's reportedly not showing symptoms. The other is a French woman whose symptoms have now gotten worse.
All right, David, thank you so much for the update. 827 on News Radio 92.3. Just to go back a little bit, the story I was talking about with Sheriff Johnson, the PNJ had it, but I think it was a USA Today network in Florida put together. Jack Lemnis is the reporter. He's a kind of an independent contract journalist, I guess. And the headline for the story was FHP, you know, Florida Highway Patrol, searches black drivers in Escambia County three times more than whites. And it was a whole story about the ratio for all of these different counties. You know, Santa Rosa was 1.86 more. Escambia was 3.8 more. Orange was 4.9, going all the way up to Manatee. They say the worst at 8.13. And the idea was, if you take the number of drivers searched, you know, you pull them over. Okay, most drivers don't get searched. In Manatee County, for example, where they say it was the worst, only 2% of traffic stops lead to a search for black drivers. But it's only 0.25% for white drivers. So it's eight times as frequent for black drivers, and they say this is outrageous and this is bias. And, you know, they didn't look at counties where there wasn't enough data to really do something statistically valid. And it's not really a matter of what the population is in that county. It's a matter of white drivers, how often do they get searched? Of black drivers, how often do they get searched? And if you read the sort of first half of the article, you know, it all sounds really bad. But then if you go farther into the article, which is always you should read the whole article, I wanted to know other things. I wanted to know, like, well, how often do they find stuff? Because if it turns out that they don't find stuff as often in black driver vehicles, then that would indicate that they're over-profiling blacks, and that's a real problem. But if they find out that, you know, they're finding stuff as often, you know, or more, or comparable, well, it sounds to me like the issue is, are more black drivers engaged in behavior that they shouldn't be engaged in? It's very easy to take a very negative perception of this, and it might be. Look, you always have to allow the possibility. It might be racial profiling. That certainly wouldn't be a new thing in this country. Not a good thing. On the other hand, if you look at the data, buried deep in the story, like I said, almost to the bottom, it says a further indicator of whether those judgment calls are sound, how often searches actually turn up contraband. Statewide, FHP found contraband in roughly half the searches of black drivers. It does not state the number. I wish it did. It does not. A lower rate than among white drivers, 58% of whom had contraband when searched. Now, that does indicate some disparity, but if it's about the same, he doesn't give the number, let's say 50% to 58, that actually means they're finding contraband in as many of them as there are, which means you seem to have a higher rate.
Fox News. Chris Foster. President Trump says no to Iran's counterproposal for peace.
President Trump writing this on Truth Social. I've just read the response from Iran's so-called representatives. I don't like it. Totally unacceptable. Iranian state media today claiming that the response called for compensation for war damages and it would give the Iranians control over the Strait of Hormuz.
It's Fox's Alex Hogan. 18 passengers on a cruise ship hit by a hantavirus outbreak are back in the U.S. at the University of Nebraska Medical Center. Fox's Marianne Rafferty.
The patients will be monitored by a CDC team and quarantined for several weeks. Another passenger was said to be developing symptoms on their way home to France. The World Health Organization says the risk to the public is still very low.
Three people have died. America's listening to Fox News.
Good. Saturday at the age of 78, Posey represented the 8th District, which includes Brevard and Indian River counties. He served from 2009 to 2025. Florida's special budget session gets underway today. Both chambers will be voting on their respective spending plans tomorrow. Then a conference negotiations will begin. State Senator Don Gates says he will likely be serving on a committee working on the education budget. He says the Senate will put together its $115 billion proposal on the table. He is predicting a budget will be on the governor's desk before the June 30th deadline. The House so far signaled that it prefers a leaner $113.5 billion budget. The 18-day session runs through May 29th. It's 8:35 at News Radio. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with PJ.
Travis brought to you by Florida West EDA. Florida West Economic Development Alliance works to create high-wage jobs and private capital investment that grow Escambia County's tax base. Taking a look at the big board, still just dealing with that vehicle crash, I-110 southbound exit ramp to Brent Lane. No roadblock. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you, PJ. Now our Channel 3 forecast.
We will have a high chance of rain as you head into your day today. 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms starting in the late afternoon, lasting into the evening. High near 80 degrees today with lows tonight near 68. For Tuesday, rain chances coming to an end with mostly sunny skies. High near 79. Tuesday night, temperatures dropping near 60 degrees. Stay connected, Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And right now, 71 degrees. We've got sunny skies. Your next news in 30 minutes. Breaking news anytime. Your money now this morning. Not a big change in the markets. The Dow down about 45 points right now, 49,576.10. S&P down only 3 points, 73,95.89. NASDAQ is down just under 0.25% at 26,193.182 today. Our 10-year bond rate is up just a bit, 4.38% this morning. Gold prices are up $10.70 at $47.41.40. Silver up $5.12 at $85.98. And looking at those oil prices today, West Texas Intermediate up $1.19, trading at $96.61 a barrel. Brent crude up $1.68. That one's at $102.97 a barrel right now. Taking a look at our area fuel prices, of course, those just keep on rising. Our national average today from AAA sitting at $4.52. The statewide average is at 440. Looking at our local prices reported by AAA today, average gas prices in Escambia County at about 410 a gallon, in Santa Rosa County at 414 a gallon. Of course, much lower than most of the state. Well, economists are skeptical of the financial windfall promises for cities hosting the World Cup, including Houston and Dallas. The security costs alone, well, they say that's enormous.
We feel like that threat level is extremely high, especially in soft areas outside of the stadiums.
And that's Homeland Security Secretary Mark Wayne Mullen. Texas taxpayers expected to cover hundreds of millions of dollars in costs. Well, prices are climbing, but shoppers apparently are still attracted to those impulse buys.
4 out of 5 consumers say they've made an impulse buy this year. The shopping spree continues, even as a survey from marketing agency PartnerCentric finds that more than half of shoppers have tighter budgets this year. Gen Z and millennial consumers are most likely to have made an impulse buy, with food being the top category. Clothes came in a close second, followed by electronics. I'm Rory O'Neill.
And fast food chains leaning more heavily into their value menus to try to lure customers squeezed by high gas prices. Restaurant business editor-in-chief Jonathan Mays says those companies are also paying close attention to what's going viral on social media as they try to entice customers to spend their limited dollars with them. It's 8:39. Our next news at 9, and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
Daryl Sewing has the Mother's Day gift you're looking for. Celebrate with incredible deals on Bernina sewing machines and save up to 45% off on favorites like the B770 QE Pro, the B570 QE, and the B335. Plus, there's 0% interest for 48 months on purchases over $3,500. You'll save big on Kangaroo sewing cabinets with free accessories on select models. Visit Daryl's of Pensacola, 6705 North Davis Highway between Creighton and Burgess, or online at sewingandpensacola.com.
Bands on the Beach, presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority, every Tuesday night at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion on Pensacola Beach. Bring a blanket or a lawn chair and relax and enjoy the sunset with your favorite bands. This week, Christy D's Bad Juju takes the stage with rock, blues, and everything in between. Each show is full of high energy and good times from start to finish. So come out and have some fun at Bands on the Beach. No pets and no glass. And this week, don't miss the Gulfside Market.
Lots of places can expose you to identity theft.
Oh, no.
That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. If we find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, we alert you right away, all through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Get the alerts that could make all the difference. Save up to 40% your first year with promo code NEWS at LifeLock.com. Terms apply.
You're already listening.
News Radio 92.3, I'm Andrew McKay.
So you might as well stay smart all day.
It's the Pensacola Morning News.
From Pensacola Morning News in the morning to pep talk with Meg in mid-morning, NVR late morning to afternoon, you do it from 2 to 4, and Pensacola right now of Chris and Austin through your drive home. News that moves with you all day long.
All day long.
On News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Informative.
Informative.
Local.
Local.
Dependable. Dependable.
Everybody was kung fu.
I admire your deductive processes.
Ooh, yeah. I'm gonna have to go ahead and sort of disagree with you there.
Oh, idiot!
Food fight!
Gentlemen, you can't fight in here. This is the war room.
This conversation can serve no purpose anymore. Goodbye.
All right, we need to talk about towels. I was reading an article the other day, and the article was talking more about the frequency, you know, at which you wash your bath towels. And, you know, I don't want to get into that conversation, but something came up in that article where it was talking about two things I do want to talk about, which is, number one, do you have separate towels for bath, like for body versus for hands versus for face? Do you have a different towel that you use for your face as opposed to your body? Because the gist of the article was the skin, I'm reading from it, the skin on your face is more delicate and often more prone to acne and irritation. So using a towel that's been in contact with the body, particularly areas that harbor more bacteria. What you talking about? What areas? It can increase the risk of breakouts of sensitivity. A clean, dedicated face towel changed daily helps minimize bacterial transfer and supports better overall skin health. And we'll share thoughts on that. So that was one. But then the other one, second question. So question number one, do you have a separate face towel? Second question, do you share a bath towel? Do you share a bath towel? Is there like a, is it his and hers or is it his and hers? You know what I mean? Like, are they separate ones or do you have your own? 437-1620. So, PJ, let's start with the simpler one first. In your household, do you have face towels?
Not face towels.
But hand towels?
We have hand towels. We have shower towels. Well, you use the shower towel for the face.
Well, that's what they're saying you shouldn't do.
You're already clean. Why wouldn't you use it?
Well, that's what they're saying you shouldn't do. I'm with you, man. I think it's wacky. Okay, and the hand towel, real hand towels are decorative, like actual dry your hand towels or the ones you're not, you're supposed to look at and not touch?
Yeah, we don't do decorative.
Okay, good. Good Midwestern kid, you don't do the decorative hand towels. Neither do we. That's ridiculous. All right, so in my household, or I suppose in this case, I should say in my wife's household, we have, you know, his and hers or his and hers. Like
his and hers, unless we're traveling.
So you have separate
circumstances might be that we need to share for some reason.
Okay. This article actually gave me insight into whenever you go to a hotel and there's like 15 different shapes of towels. And I'm always like, I don't even know what all these are for. It's like giving me five different utensils at my fine dining table. I need like one for the floor. So my feet aren't cold and the wet doesn't get on the floor. One for just the body. And then we're done. Right. That's it. And then there's like the wash rag and there's the hand towel. And then there's the other hand towel. And there's, I guess there's face towels. I'm just too dumb to not know the difference. So, no, we do not have face towels. You just, you have your, I don't even like hand towels. You know, we don't, I mean, I guess we have them in the guest bathroom, which we use once in a while, but I just have a bath towel. Bath towel dries the hand. Bath towel dries the, you know, the face. Bath towel dries the buttocks. I mean, bath towel just dries everything, you know, it's. TMI. It's fine. What's that?
TMI.
I mean, it's not like it's a secret. We've all got one or two. 844 on News Radio 92.3. So two questions. Number one, do you have a separate face? That just sounds insane to me. I mean, like, I kind of get the argument they're trying to make, you know, but it just sounds, good Lord. And by the way, changing it every day? Face towel that changes every day? I mean, what, put a paper towel roll in your bathroom,
that's a
I
lot
guess.
Of laundry.
I don't, yeah. What? So, what's that?
It's a lot of laundry.
That's a lot of laundry, especially with kids. Good grief. You got enough work already. All right. 437-1620. PJ has traffic on the fives.
All right. Taking a look at the big board. Still just dealing with that vehicle crash. I-110 southbound exit ramp to Brent Lane. No roadblock associated with that. I-10's looking good. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. If you have a company, you have employees, you have to deal with benefits. Washing towels. I don't know. You got health insurance, dental, vision, life, disability, managing HR, payroll. None of that is the reason you went into business. You went into business because you want to build houses or you want to sell hardware or you want to fix cars or you want to sell cars or, you know, you didn't go into business because you want to handle employee benefits. But you have to because your employees matter. You care about them. You want to attract good ones and retain good ones. And you want to save money and help them save money. Well, Torgerson Consulting, they're really good at this. We started using them 5 years ago here at News Radio and Cat Country. Both of, you know, in 2021, we went with them. And what we found was better plans, less expensive plans, and honestly, a choice among plans that we didn't really have before. It was kind of a take it or leave it before. And we're like, I guess we'll take it. And look, you know, they're not miracle workers, okay? The marketplace is what it is. It's terrible. You know, thank you, Obama. But, you know, they found options within that marketplace that we didn't know existed and gave us those choices. And so I feel like we're in control a little bit, you know, which is good. And customer service, fantastic. great at customer service at Torkelson Consulting. So if you've got a company and you want to find out if there's a better way to do it, or, you know, just don't know how to do it in the first place, whatever, 433-9996 for Torkelson Consulting, or check them out online at tcbenefitsgroup.com. All right, question of the day for the frivolous topic is, number one, do you have separate bath, hand, and face towels? I never heard of the face towel before until I was reading this article about how often you should clean your towels. One person says, what is this? Wash your towels every day, funded by Tide. Exactly. Sure. Every day, right. And then, so, but they say, like, the bacteria that grows on your body towel comes from parts of your body that, when you cleaned it. They're all clean. If your body is in the shower, it's all clean. The bacteria are not still there being scraped off by the towel. If that's the case, then you're not doing the washing properly. So, I theoretically, I get the idea that, you know, there are places on your body you might not want to, let's just say, rub, and then also rub your face. I can see how that might be true, but it's all clean. Plus, don't you go top down anyway? I mean, all right, that's a whole different conversation. But, yeah, different face towels was kind of a new one to me. And then the other one was his and hers, or his and hers. You know, do you have separate towels? Like, I would never in my wildest world ever use my son's towels because they're teenage boys. You know, just not touching it. And, you know, we don't share. Like, we have our own bath towels. But it wouldn't be an issue if we had to share, like PJ said, like at a hotel or something like that. It's not a problem. It's just, you know, not the norm. 437-1620. Somebody says, that was the wash towels daily. Who funded the study by Tide? One bath towel period per person, not shared with another person. We have a paper towel holder in the bathroom to dry hands and face. Oh, that's interesting. Okay, so you do take that advice seriously, that the hand and the face are done with the paper towel as opposed to the bath towel. I do kind of want to ask the follow-up, which is, I'm curious for this person, why not paper towels for the whole body?
It's a lot of paper towels.
Well, I mean, here's what I'm thinking. Whatever the reason is that you use paper towels for the hands and the face, it seems like the same rationale would justify paper towels for the whole body. And now I'm into a world where people are using paper towels to dry off after a shower, and I just can't fathom that world. But you tell me. I'm curious if anybody does that. There's always somebody. There's always somebody that's got, like, brawny on the big rack. I'm curious. I mean, they do make the bar.
If there is, it's one person.
Come on. I mean, obviously not during COVID, but okay, right now. So 437-1620, somebody says, no face towel. A his and hers bath towel, his and hers hands towel, his and hers sinks too. Okay, so that's separate, I think, in all those cases. Oh, man, I'll tell you, your life changes when you get the two sinks and the two walk-in closets. It's a whole different world. Let's see, somebody says, I use towels based on size. Bath towel for body, face, and hands. Hand towel for face and hands. If you're in a desperate situation, a face towel can also be used as a bath towel. That's true. 437-1620, 437-1620. You have boys. Doesn't your wife have a face towel? No, she's not foo-foo-y like that. It's for washing and not drying your face. Nope. I don't. Mike, the girl dad, has one, but the ladies do too. We have our own bath towels. Bath towels are on a 3-day rotation. Washcloths are replaced daily. Oh, interesting. Daily. All right. The washcloth, it seems to me, is the one that gets the most vigorous, literally washing all the time. And so I wouldn't think you'd need to replace that one as often. That's for people who use an actual cloth with soap to wash their body off in the bath, which is a whole other conversation and a layer of diligence that I just cannot be bothered with. 8:51 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Making a few small changes to how you use energy in your home can make a big difference. Like setting your AC, every degree you raise it can save you up to 5% on cooling costs. With the FPL Energy Manager, you can easily monitor how much energy you're using, see which appliances use the most, and how it affects your bill. Keep more money in your pocket by making your home more energy efficient. Learn more at fpl.com/ways to save.
Hurricane season begins June 1st, but preparation starts now. Florida's severe weather season is underway, and the same steps that help you prepare for hurricanes Making a plan, gathering supplies, and staying informed also help protect you during severe weather today. For simple step-by-step guidance, visit floridamakeaplan.com. One plan can help you prepare for many storms. Brought to you by the Florida Division of Emergency Management, the University of Florida, and the Florida Association of Broadcasters.
A better air filter on your air conditioner is nice, but it isn't enough. It takes a lot more than that to clean the air that you breathe. This is Todd with Gulf Coast Air Care. On Wednesday's Pep Talk, we'll talk about how to keep pollen, bacteria, and other pollutants out of your lungs. Remember what I always say, if you don't have a good air filter, you are one. Let's talk Wednesday morning at 9:30 on Pep Talk.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
When storms pop up fast, it helps to already know where to go.
We've got all the details.
News Radio 92.3. 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
It's all psychological. You yell Barracuda. Everybody says, huh? What? You yell Shark. We've got a panic on our hands on the 4th of July.
Good morning, 8:53 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I've said this before, but I did find myself watching a little bit of the Trump interview, President Trump interview with Cheryl Atkinson last night, and specifically they were talking about Iran.
On Iran, would you say the war is over, is it paused, or is it very much active?
Well, they're militarily defeated. In their own minds, maybe they don't know that, but I think they do because I deal with them. And we cannot ever let Iran have a nuclear weapon. But they are militarily defeated. They have no Navy. They have no Air Force. They have no anti-aircraft weaponry. They have no radar. They have no leaders. Their leaders are gone. The first set, the A team is gone, the B team is gone, and part of the C team is gone. But I think we're dealing with people that have...
The third stringers are gone, too.
But I think we're dealing with people that have a certain power. It's very interesting because, you know, they make a deal and then they break it. Then they make a deal, they break it. It's a difficult group. But from a military standpoint, I mean, if we left today... It would take them 20 years to rebuild.
And so she goes on and kind of presses a little bit on the targeting and the nuclear capability.
Where are we in the war if we've not yet gotten the nuclear materials, the enriched uranium from them?
Well, we'll get that at some point, whatever we want. We have it surveilled. You know, I did a thing called Space Force, and they are watching.
So is it accurate to say you think the combat operations are over and done? But there
no,
may
I
be-
didn't say that. I said they are... They are defeated, but that doesn't mean they're done. We could go in for two more weeks and do every single target. We have certain targets that we wanted to, and we've done probably 70% of them. But we have other targets that we could conceivably hit.
All right. So it's a war. It's not a war. We're on. We're off. We're not done. We've totally defeated them militarily, but... Well, there you go. All right, 8:55 on News Radio 92.3. And by the way, you know, you might have heard me talking about the War Powers Resolution, and I have gone and read it actually now, and it pretty much says what I thought it said. And yeah, I've talked about how I think the president ought to go to Congress for an authorization for the use of military force for a declaration of war. I think it's a shame that he's not and that nobody's demanding it. But I support the war, like the concept of it. Now, long-term goals... What's the threshold for victory? At what point do we stop engaging in it? What really needs to be done? Those are all fair questions. But the basic premise of this country needed to be dealt with and has not been. We've been at war with that. Well, they've been at war with us for 47 years, and we've just now started to participate. I agree. But you also have to believe in the process. If the president is supposed to be, you know, the enactor of what the Congress declares when it comes to war, then the president, even in, especially in a right war, should go and ask for that authorization, that permission, so to speak. You can believe a thing is right and still believe that the process that might produce a saying no is still the right process to follow. PJ has traffic on the fives.
There is a brand new vehicle crash with injuries. East Johnson Avenue and North Davis Highway. They're saying there's a roadblock associated with that, so just use caution. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. I saw this interesting story. It was about the things that people ask about on early dates. And it was one of those, you know, hey, generational gap kind of things. Something that you might think is fairly rude to ask about on a date. But essentially, Gen Z and millennials, they claim, might ask you about your credit score on a date. Talk about very exciting. 20%, roughly 20%, a survey from the dating app Hilly or Hiley, I don't know how they prefer to say it. It's H-I-L-Y. 20% of Gen Z and 25% of millennials believe dating apps should allow users to filter potential matches by credit score. So I will only date somebody with a 700 or above. Oh, man. More than half say they've lied about their finances on dates. Well, that's maybe not all that surprising. Then you have people saying like 37% say they'd go into debt for a date. Oh, run. anyway, disqualifying somebody on the basis of their credit score is very interesting. Would you actually ask that of the person? So you don't ask about that on the first date. I mean, I'm kind of the mindset that the first date is usually to find out that you don't want a second date. I mean, most of it should be no. The problem with dating a lot of times is we're trying to get a yes and we're trying to get a follow-up. You know, we're being salespeople instead of screeners. You know, we're trying to pursue the second date, the third date, the fourth date. And no, I mean, the process of dating is primarily to say no to everybody but the one you're going to marry, right? So unless you're just in it for the recreational value, which is a whole different purpose. And, why would you care about the credit score in that case? But if you're trying to find a spouse, I mean, find ways to say no, find reasons to say no. And I kind of favor the, what did they call it, the slash and burn. There's a whole model of dating that has become a little bit more popular, particularly with women lately. And this is all like me talking about what I've read. This is obviously no personal knowledge in the dating arena for a long time. But the idea is basically burn it to the ground, and if it survives, it's good, and which is a, you know, kind of an idea of find out the bad things, and if there's any reason to drop him, then drop him because he's not the right one. Which, I mean, you know, from the guy's perspective too. Again, are you trying to promote and sell your way into a relationship that maybe you shouldn't have, or are you trying to find all of the no's so that you can actually be left with the one that's worth, or the few that are worth hanging on to, and then pick one of those? Anyway, that's my approach.
Stream us at newsradio923.com.